Hey everybody, and welcome along to this week's edition of the Irish Golfer Podcast. Peter Finnan here, and joined by John Craven.
How's it going, Peter?
Not too bad. A special bonus pod today. We've obviously had all the live interactions and PGA Tour and the end of the golfing world,
as you said. I can't hear you.
Can't hear. So yeah, if you wanna delve deep into the crisis that professional golf finds itself in, and the merits of capitalism and cronyism. Yeah, we have a podcast on that. So yeah, we get a little bit emotional, that one. But no, this one was different emotionally for another reason. Tom McKibben, Hollywood's finest.
Ooh, take that, McElroy.
What a win.
It was brilliant. Yeah, really enjoyed it. Listen, it probably the first Sunday I've watched the Deep World Tour from start to finish. I was properly invested in Tom, just... obviously tied with six other people, I think, starting the final round. Looked good all week, and was just very curious to see if he was going to be able to get the job done. And pretty much within three holes, I was like, yeah, he's on it. He's firing at every pin. He's going to do it. Said this in the other pod, devastated that from the outset looked like he was going to win. I didn't have a shilling on him. Because, yeah, no doubt this is going to be the first of many. I think Tom would be a pretty good investment for people.
Nah, it was class to watch. I've known Tom since he was 10. It was mad to say it's only 10 years, but like, it's mad to see his career progression, see what he's done, like, been around him a lot, played with him a few times, played last year in a pro-am with him. He was phenomenal. To see what he's
that
done this year and how
K
he's
Club.
Kicked on at the K Club, yeah.
And he finished second, didn't he?
Yeah.
Won the Chris O'Connor Jr. Award into this year's Irish Open.
Yeah.
That's sorted now anyway.
He's in America now, yeah. I wonder, can they give that to the second place lad? Yeah, they've saved themselves a spot.
That'd be John Murphy.
Yeah.
I think, pretty sure.
Let's start a petition.
Let's do it, absolutely. I need to get some good out of this day.
Anyway, without us beating around the bush, like, he rounds a 72, 69, 72, 70, topped the leaderboard, €315,000, not a bad week's work. Let's hear from the man himself. Let's hear from Tom. Right, delighted to be joined now by Tom McKibben, fresh off his win. Tom, 2023 Porsche European Open champion. That has a nice ring to it.
Yeah, it does. It's certainly a nice name to win.
Like, it must be an unbelievable feeling. Obviously, it hasn't sunk in yet. I'd say it's still been a few days. But how have you processed this?
Not really processed it too much yet. I mean, I've been so busy the last couple of days. I haven't really had much time to sit and sort of think about it. I think sort of from today onwards, I should have a bit more time to myself and sort of let it sink in. I've actually been watching the highlights this morning, funny enough.
I was going to, how have the last few days been? Like, have you just been sitting at home on the couch? Talk to us about watching the highlights. What's that like? Is that a bit surreal?
The last few days have just been, I've been real busy. I haven't actually been sitting down, really chilling out at all. I've been out doing some stuff and doing a lot of things. And today's probably the first real day I'll get to sort of chill and take it all in, but I don't know, as us golfers, we all probably just like watching ourselves on TV. I don't know, and nitpicking small things and stuff like that, but it's pretty cool.
It's great that you're nitpicking things. That's a sign of a proper champion over there. Like, when you think about what's happened, like, were there any indications that, like, last week could have been the week? Like, I know you've talked about being sick and stuff, and like, people would have seen you coughing. Like, did that work in your favor with expectations and stuff like that, or did it feel like a different week, or how were you like in the lead up to Thursday, I suppose?
No, not really. It just sort of felt like any other week. I planned quite nicely, or trending quite nicely with playing nicely the week before. And I just sort of carried on trying to do the exact same stuff and just sort of went out and played golf. I'd been sort of feeling a bit under the weather every day. So I don't think that sort of helped any expectations, because I could still play golf perfectly fine. So I still knew it was like no excuse or anything, but I think it just like off the course at night and stuff, when I wasn't feeling well, or I was just trying to get myself better. So I wasn't really lying around or sitting around thinking about the next day or whatever. I was too busy actually trying to get myself to feel somewhat better, really.
In a weird way, it was a good distraction then, having been ill, like, was it? Because it just preoccupied you off the golf course. You didn't get a chance to think about it much. You just slept and took paracetamol or something.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, I just literally was, as soon as sort of it was quite bad on Friday, and as soon as Friday, I finished quite late on Friday night, so literally got back and just went to bed, and then obviously out late the next couple of days, and you're getting back late enough, so I didn't have much time to sit around and really think too much about it.
Did you fancy the golf course, Tom? Like, did it set up well for you?
Yeah, I think it did. I mean, I quite like the harder golf courses where the scores aren't as low. I just think it sort of suits my game quite well. I would drive it pretty good, like, and just a tough, demanding course like that seems to suit my eye. I feel like I play very similar no matter what the course is, so I feel like that's sort of why the harder ones suit me.
One thing that really struck me, like, more so last year when I spent a bit of time, we played together, Tom, on the Challenge Tour side of things, was how fast you've adapted to tour life. And I was asking you certain questions, and you just say, I'm just a much better player now. But how quick that evolution has happened, and how sharper you got last year. You seem sharper again this year. You, like, any level that's been put in front of you, you've always aced the test. Do you surprise yourself at all?
Not really. I mean, I think my game's just got so much better just naturally, with playing with some of these guys and just the scores that you have to shoot. So I don't think it's surprised myself. I didn't know that was going to happen, that I was going to, like, get much better by doing nothing, really. I mean, I did do a lot of hard work, but I also just playing the tournaments and letting it just happen with trying to make cuts and contend, that just sort of all the experience happens naturally. And I mean, even those few weeks there a couple of months ago where I wasn't playing well, I was still like, well, I'm actually still such a better player than I was this time last year. So it's nothing to worry about or panic about. It was just one of those things.
And getting yourself in the mix so often, like I know we look at stats and finishes and stuff like that, and like, even though before last week, like, your best finish on the DP World Tour, I think, was a tie for 12th, you know your golf was much better than that. But getting yourself in close to tournaments, being there around final groups a few times, the experience of Rolex events, didn't always go your way, but you seem to have learned so much from those experiences, and it helps you be extremely calm looking on the TV the other day.
Yeah. I think just this year I've had a few things that have just been so close and so, like, annoying. Like, I've missed a good couple of cuts by a shot, and then just there's just been so many things that have just happened that have been so close that I think that just sort of annoyed me so much and sort of got to me a bit, that I was just like, almost whatever sort of happens today's a bonus. I sort of felt like I'd been doing the right things, and golf's so funny. I mean, it just, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. And I just felt like maybe that was the time, and it happened.
As Pete says there, like, on TV you looked so calm. Like, if I could, like, pop the bonnet, like, a car, and have a look in the engine there, like, was it as cool as you looked on the outside?
I'm not too sure. I mean, I think I actually was pretty good on Sunday. I thought I would have been a lot more nervous, or my heart would have been beating a bit more, but I felt surprised so good, and I was hitting it nicely on the range, and I just played really good. I mean, I feel so much more nervous trying to make the cut or come in on a Friday. I mean, I don't know. I felt really good. It sort of felt back to when I was winning sort of amateur events and junior events. It just sort of felt normal again.
Was, like, I know the answer to this before I even ask, but, like, you've obviously made changes in your your own setup this year, how important was Dave McNeely on the bag on that Sunday? Because he seemed to be such a calming force. Like, one thing that struck me was, like, even 17 tee box, when you're right there in the heat of it, you're going back, put the club in the bag, and he cracks a joke and you're just laughing away. Like, you seemed so, he seemed like such a calming influence.
Yeah, definitely. He's been so good for me. And I think just take the whole golf caddy side out of it, just as you say, just we're just out there having so much fun and messing about almost and cracking jokes. It's just so much fun. And then when it gets to actually hitting the shot and the caddying part of it, he's amazing with that as well. I mean, we've did quite well so far, and I think that sort of there last week was really what we've been sort of working towards and been seeing that coming.
I have to ask the question on Dave as well. What was going through your head when the ball left the club face on the 16th in your approach shot?
The one that just got over the water.
yeah.
It was a bit of a awkward number. I had sort of the same yardage the day before, and I carry a 3-wood and a 7-wood, and I love the 7-wood, but it goes a little bit spinny sometimes, and it doesn't go that far, but I couldn't hit the 3-wood, and I was like, I'm not gonna just hit a sand wedge down here and hit another sand wedge onto the green. So yeah, I sort of gotta try and get this there, and it would have got there. I was aiming probably 10 yards left of the flag, and if I hit it dead straight, it easily was getting there, and I just sort of faded it a bit, and I still think it was going to get there in the air. I hit it good enough, but it was just into the wind, and it was a bit high, but on the TV, it looks so much closer. I mean, well, from the fairway, it looked close, but when I got up there, the pitch mark was still a good, like, 4 feet over the water, and
yeah.
It just had came out of the pitch mark back a wee bit, but it was, I honestly thought it was going to carry, but I still wasn't too sure.
I did hear, I know Jay Townsend was doing the on-course comms, and I did hear that, I think Dave said to him, did it cover or how much it covered? And he said, yeah, well, sure, I told Tom anyway, short right's the place to miss this green for an easy up and down. And he just had you in stitches as well. But it's little things like that that do make a big difference, isn't it? When you hear your caddy, you're walking in the fairway and he's joking with guys like that and you're in the heat of it and you're actually involved in the jokes and just that calming influence.
Yeah, no, you're dead right. I mean, I remember that we were sort of up near the green and the other guys were hitting in, and Dave goes to Jay, he goes, that's what you call good caddy in there for your player, tell them to leave it below the hole for a nice uphill chip.
Oh no, it's really, really good. But have you any other examples, like we've seen those bits, but examples of, like, we know he's kept you sort of emotionally that way and kept things lighthearted and easy going. But on the golf course, like, you always strike me as a very aggressive player, and it's in your nature to be a really good aggressive player like that, and it always pays off for you. But on the golf course, what other things has Dave done like this, say just in that final round, that sticks out with you that really helps you get the job done?
I think just as you said, probably we're quite aggressive, I would say. I mean, just sort of sticking to that and sort of going with it. I think we've got such a good sort of, our Dave's got such a good sort of idea of how I play and all the shots that I hit, that we're always sort of on the exact same page. We've very rarely been on a hole and completely disagreed. It's always there, so I think it just gives me the confidence to go and hit it freely, because I know he's on the same page as I am and I'm on the same page he is, and it's just quite comforting, and it's but it's almost just so laid back. I think he's did it so much that it's almost like it's just sort of nearly whatever. There's no like worrying or hesitation from him. It's just,
yeah,
it's just get on with it and hit the shot.
This is what it is. I know this shot. I know this template. I've been here before. Just do that.
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah, I mean, it's just, he's just as cool as anything, and it's just almost like this no big deal. Just play like you have been.
I know you like your putters as well, Tom, from last year. I remember you pulling putters out of people's bag when I was playing with you. And you were on a veto last year. You're not allowed to change your putter. I seen the old spider got a rest last week. You got a new putter in the bag.
I've been using that spider, and then I actually went to a different spider for a couple of weeks with the line that was the full length.
Yeah.
And I felt like I'd been putting good, but nothing had been going in. I felt like I was putting good strokes on it, good reads. Nothing was just falling. And I'd seen a couple of weeks before, the week before, that there was this new KBS graphite shaft in the putter, and I really wanted to try it. But it, I don't think it fitted in the hosel of the spider.
Yeah.
So there was one on the truck, and I just took it and got it matched up to what I normally use. And I'd actually used that exact, well, not the exact head, but the same model of head at the end of last year. So like the last couple of Challenger events and the four in South Africa. So I was familiar exact with the putter head. It was just the feel of the shaft. And I don't know if it actually worked or if it was just a bit of the honeymoon period, but...
So you're telling me there's a chance to get the old spider back in then, because he's sitting in the corner now crying.
Well, at least not for a couple of months now, I don't think.
Your lag putting seemed to be absolutely spot on, in fairness, yeah. And even just over the one, like, holing out from kind of 4 or 5 footers, like, you look so comfortable. There was no taking in edges. They were all going in middle. You just look so calm.
Yeah, I'd been practicing my putting lots at the events and just doing the exact same things and just trusting that it was gonna sort of turn around. I mean, I wasn't putting badly or missing it, just golf, but they just weren't going in, and it was just getting pretty frustrating because I was almost playing good enough to contend, but I was finishing 20th or just missing a cut by a shot or this, or, and it was just like, if this can just turn around, it'll be exciting to see what happens. And I just went out and I putted lovely.
You sounded like I just to pick on something you said earlier, like it felt like back in your amateur days when you were winning and you were an absolute killer back in those days, but then you turn pro and like it's so seldom anyone wins as a pro. And so now, like, this is kind of the first time that you have evidence, obviously, of getting over the line and the way it felt getting over the line. If it felt like your amateur days, that must be a serious relief to know that those feelings translate from back when you're kind of a carefree kid to now you're on the big tours.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it was just almost just the, when I was back younger, I felt like I won lots and maybe a couple times a year, and it was almost just normal to win. And obviously, pro golf, it's so much harder. You don't even expect to win like that or anything. So it wasn't like I was out there expecting to rip it up or anything. But it was just sort of when I was younger, I used to not really get nervous just because it was normal or whatever for me. So I think just going out there on Sunday, playing nicely, having a nice sort of warm up, it was just, I don't know, I just felt real comfortable. It almost just felt natural again, which I've maybe just because I've had those experiences, that's what it'll be like. But I thought I might have just been a bit more nervous, or my heart would have been beating a bit more, or just everything might have felt a little different. But it just felt real nice. I must say, it probably felt like the nicest I played all week on Sunday. Everything felt really good, where maybe before, just everything might have just been a bit tighter. Just, I don't know, everything was just really good. I just felt like I had good control of the ball, and it sort of was quite comforting.
I'd imagine that when you were winning all those tournaments as a junior, your dad was always there watching you as well, and obviously your dad was there on Sunday, or was there for the week. Do you ever allow yourself to just catch his eye during the turn and be like, holy shit, look what I'm doing, Dad? Or does he, or like, is he ever giving you a glance? Are you just trying to avoid him at all costs?
No, I mean, I wouldn't, maybe when I'm like there on Sunday, I wouldn't have looked over or got, or just because I wouldn't want to think of anything like that. But normally, yeah, I mean, look over in between, have a bit of a chat, and it's just chilled out. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't. I'm not avoiding them anyway.
Not
he
on
was
Sunday.
He was definitely nervous anyway on Sunday, because he was more nervous than I feel you were on Sunday, because I was texting him during your back nine from the golf course over and back, and at one stage he sent me a text message of got up and down for thing, and I said, yeah, I know, great shot, and he goes, oops, that was for Sarah. He sent me a text he was meant to send your mom, so that was, I laughed at that. It was funny, but like, it's a really historical trophy you've just won as well. Like, I know you're 20 years of age. When I was your age, going back, I sound like such an old man now saying this, but going back to European Opens at the K Club and that trophy and the significance of it and the names of it, did you take a moment to look at the history on that trophy and sort of pinch yourself?
No, not really. I mean, everything was so rushed after, not rushed, but just happened so quickly after that I didn't have time really to sit and look at the trophy, or, I mean, the thing's so heavy anyway, I just wanted to set it down pretty much.
So you didn't get to bring it home then, no?
No, I don't have it at home, no. Yeah. I would hate it. I would have actually hated to try have caught it through the airport. It would have been a nightmare. But yeah, I actually didn't realize how big the event was, and the sort of title of the tournament. I think the Porsche Europe sort of got away from the European Open. Like, I've obviously heard of the European Open, but I didn't know this was the exact same thing.
Yeah.
That was at the K Club and stuff. I mean, I actually didn't know that till afterwards and all that. And I think that's actually pretty cool. My first one was a pretty big sort of title, Dave.
Yeah, no, it's not like, I know you're not mad into going out celebrating and stuff, but I'm sure Robin would have had a drink or two, but it's not the best trophy for getting a drink out of, so you're not really missing bringing it home. Wins don't come too often, Tom, right? And I know you're home now, you're relaxing. Surely you have something special earmarked to buy for yourself or do yourself to celebrate this.
I don't know. I honestly don't really know what. I do want to get myself something, just sort of the remember the first win or whatever, but I honestly don't know. I got myself a car last year for getting my card, so I don't really know what to get. I mean, I don't quite need a house or anything, so
the box set of Peaky Blinders,
pair of runners or something. Yeah. That's it. Yeah, something small, yeah, but grand.
I don't know, but I'm sure I'll find something.
What's kind of next now? Like, I don't know. I remember we chatted earlier in the year, I can't remember, but did you write down goals at the start of the year versus what you're kind of have to reevaluate now looking forward? Like, was winning on a goal, was getting in the top 10 in the race to Dubai a goal? Like, what kind of your goals been?
I don't really sit down and write goals or set goals or write them down or anything. I mean, I used to do that when I was younger. I don't do that. I just find that would put too much pressure on you, especially out here where it's so hard to sometimes accomplish these things. So I just sort of, obviously in my head, I wanted to win an event and do all this stuff, but it wasn't like written down or it was like, oh, that's my goal to win an event or come this. I was just sort of going with the flow, really, and just whatever happened. I just wanted to really make sure that I was preparing for all the events good and doing everything right, that when I turned up, it was just, if I played good, I played good. If I played bad, I played bad. There was no, I didn't do this, didn't do that. There's an excuse. It was just sort of making sure that I was doing everything right, that I just went and played. And if it was good that week, it was good. And if it was bad, it was bad. Just on to the next one, really.
So what you're saying is you want to be playing the Ryder Cup in September.
That would be pretty cool.
No, but like, it's surely, yeah, I know you don't write goals, but surely you do reassess in your own head and look now where you are on the order of merit, where you are on the race to Dubai now. Like, you did this last year, you just came straight up first year challenge tour. you have to be looking at that now and going, this is something I can do. Like, I know I can win out here. I've so many, there's so much golf between now and the end of the year that getting a top 10 on the DP World is such a big carrot now for just career progression.
Yeah, definitely. I think I will sit down and think of what I could do or what opportunities there are and stuff for that and try and get that. But I think just with golf, and there's so much stuff goes on and you're so busy that you think of this stuff and it just sort of goes through your head. So you don't actually worry about it. Just for me, I just let the golf happen. And I mean, if you play good golf the rest of the year, I mean, it should take care of itself.
Last question then, Tom. We let you get back to Lemsips and box sets and telly and getting a bit of rest. Your phone must have blown up. You travelled home on Monday morning. It's now Wednesday. Like, have you had a chance to get back, or what was the most random message you got from someone that you hadn't heard from before?
I didn't get any random ones, I don't think. I mean, there might still be some loads in there. But yeah, Sunday night, obviously, phone was going mad and I was just trying to chill out and we had dinner. So I didn't have time to go back to anyone Sunday night. And then by the time Monday came around, even more. So I guess I've had probably well over 200-300 texts. So I've been trying to slowly do an hour a day so far and get through them all, which I still only have probably got it down to about 20-30 texts left. So I'll hopefully get through those today, and then that'll be them. But it was pretty mental.
This is a question now I'm going to ask you, on it's a simple yes no answer, but I think I know the answer already. Is this the first interview you've done in a long time that there hasn't been a Rory McIlroy comparison?
Yes, it is. Thank you very much.
No problem at all. Listen, Tom, it's always a pleasure. I'm sure we'll catch up with you soon face to face. Enjoy the couple of days off. And the first of absolutely many. Take care of yourself and well done.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
That was a pretty good chat.
He's as cool as a cucumber, isn't he?
Yeah, it doesn't give too much away. Bar not giving a shit about the names that were written on the trophy. I thought
yeah,
that was funny.
Poor you and all your 20 years watching golf and oh God, the names.
Because I grew up with that trophy. I grew up, that wasn't my first golf
Peter,
tournament.
Stop wasting my time. Next question.
And he's like, nah, I didn't get a chance. I think it was too heavy.
Oh,
I had to put it down.
But now, so in fairness, now that we didn't do the McIlroy comparisons, over under four majors, Tom McKibben. Who comes out with more?
McIlroy's not going to end his career in four majors.
That was a test.
Did I pass?
I think he will.
Do you?
Probably. But let's not talk about McIlroy.
Yeah, exactly. We done the man a service there by not asking him a Rory question.
I know. To do what he's done, his head is melted with that McIlroy comparison. But to do what he's done living with that comparison is pretty impressive. Like, he's been given lots of leg ups, lots of support from McIlroy. Like, since turning pro, he's got some invites where maybe other players wouldn't and things like that, but you still have to pull out the results and you still have to do it under pressure. And he's done it in half the starts, I think, that McIlroy did to get to his first win. Like, it's pretty mental.
No, it's class. It is class. We were joking while the thing was on. I said it to Tom off air, away from the interview as well, that, like, yeah, the two Germans were chasing him there. Tom was going around sniffling and coughing on the golf course. If this was a few months ago now, they would have had him off the golf course. The German tournament director saying, no, he has COVID, get him off. Let Maximilian or Marcel go on and win. We had Ronan as well. We have to out Ronan. Ronan, rat in our Slack channel and our groups there, taught, like, he was mad for Marcel. He's a big Marcel Seam fan, so, yeah.
Well, Marcel giving it the big fist pumps after about four holes. Another. Yeah. He's actually great to watch. Get him on the Ryder Cup team. Happy days.
Yeah, and I agree with that.
I know, like, fair play to Tom. It is a massive, I'm just looking to race to Dubai here. Like, he's up to 23rd. Like, there's a lot of names in that race to Dubai already exempt onto the PGA Tour. I don't know if any of these announcements are going to change any of that. I'd imagine what's being put in place for this year is going to remain in terms of the strategic alliance and stuff. Like, he doesn't have a long way to, like, he's into all the big events now. Doesn't have a long way to go to get straight onto the PGA Tour.
You don't even
year.
Need to win. Now, he's won already. So just keep etching up top 10s. Easier said than done.
Yeah.
But keep sneaking into top 10s and some big fields. Like, he's into Wentworth. He's into all these big events now.
Yeah.
Not in the US Open. That's not going to happen the week after next. qualifying wise,
eighth reserve. Or
yeah,
something.
He's like eighth reserve. It's not going to happen in a major. So
maybe an Open. Who knows?
Maybe an Open of Royal Liverpool to look forward to. Yeah, that'd be a great way to end the thing, and then just have a stint at the DP World Title.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's great for Irish golf. It's great for the magazine. Should be a solid 20 or 30 years out of this fella. Yeah. Ride the coattails. Happy days.
No, so that's it. Yeah, no, we're delighted to be joined by him anyway, and delighted about everything. Delighted.
I'm just keep saying delighted. Well, yeah, I talked
trying
to Tom,
distract myself from everything else
from
is going on.
The fire burning behind you there in the office.
Exactly. So, no, we'll be back next week. This was just a bonus pod we dropped in because you couldn't really ignore an Irish win like this and everything that went on in the last week. We'll be back as normal next Monday after with a preview, I suppose, for the US Open. We have a major next week and probably McIlroy winning three in a row at Canada, sticking the two fingers up to everybody. And then, yeah, we all know what happens after Rory wins the week before a major.
Yeah, diddly squad.
Bar 2014.
When was that? I feel like Tom McKibben was about 2 years old.
Right, now cheers for tuning in, and we'll chat to you again next week.